My mother was this sexy, kooky bohemian. She traveled the world taking photographs. Now, my dad, he was this alpha male Guido, kind of like Joe Pesci and My Cousin Vinny, only Jewish. Dad always had a Cuban cigar dripping from his mouth, a wad of $100 bills in his pocket, and a .38 caliber Smith & Wesson snub-nosed gun on his person. Now, during the school year, my mom, when I'd come home from high school, was usually in her dark room in our basement developing photos. This one day, she wasn't. "Ma, where are you?" "Why are you in my bedroom?" "Ma, what's wrong? You gotta tell me." "Someone from your father's store called and told me that he got a silencer today." "So, what's a silencer?" "For his gun. I think he's going to kill me." "That's crazy." "Hey, the king of the castle's home. Where are my girls?" "Ma, you gotta go talk to Daddy." But she couldn't. So I took on my new role as my mother's protector. I marched down those stairs. "Dad, did you get a silencer today?"
"No."
Well, Mommy says that you did."
"I don't know what she's talking about. I love her. I wouldn't hurt a fly on her beautiful head."
"Well, if anything ever happens to her, I'm going to know it was because of you."
"Crazy. Freaking crazy. Barbara, come down here and give me a freaking kiss."
I believed my dad.
You know, in the scene, we sort of get the foreshadowing of what's about to happen. Tell us what happened exactly and how you heard about it.
I actually thought my mother must be paranoid about this. And that's something that happens a lot with people who are either in abusive relationships somehow. You know, I wasn't directly the one that was being abused emotionally, but, you know, that sense of denial overrides everything. And so I was a teenager when that happened, and I just kind of thought, well, why is my mother telling me this? My father's denying it. It can't be true. And then they went about just having their life. So I thought, well, it can't be true. Then about 5 years later, my parents separated. At the time, my mother told me that my father put a gun to her head, and she went and got a restraining order. Excuse me. I think I just couldn't handle it. Like, I couldn't believe that was true, and my father denied everything. I don't actually remember addressing him with that at the time, but what happened was they got back together, and when they did, I thought, well, in my mind, the way to make that okay is that couldn't have been true, because my mother's not going to go back with my father if that's true. So, you know, now I reflect back and I think, what kind of lessons was that teaching me about the relationship between a man and a woman and what's okay and what's not okay? And so they had gotten back together. They had a very obsessive love-hate relationship. It had never been physically violent, but it was very emotionally volatile. And I was living in L.A. I was engaged. I had moved out, and I came home, and my fiancé told me that he had received a phone call from my father saying that there was an accident with a gun and my mother was dead. Basically, from there, it changed my life and really set me on the journey that I'm on today, which is, what's going on? What's happening? I want to be awake, not sleepwalking through life. And for me, it was a lot about really trying to get to the truth of what happened and learning how to forgive.
Wow. So your dad only served 2.5 years in prison, got out of jail, and married your mother's sister, your aunt.
Actually, I believe he married her before he went to prison. Dun, da, da, da. yeah, it was quite a bit for me to handle that first year.
Oh, my gosh.
He went to prison a year after my mom's death. Within just a few months after my mom died, he moved in with my aunt. And in the beginning, I thought it was great because my father was leaning on me heavily. And he wanted me to move back to New York and take care of him, and I just couldn't. And so when he moved in with my aunt, and he was a mess, my father at that time, I was grateful to have someone take care of him because I loved him so much, too. And then lo and behold, I was never really told they got married until after he got out of prison.
There are probably a lot of questions that we won't get to today, but that your play will answer. So I'll just have to be at peace with that. But how soon after? When did you start talking about what happened?
I couldn't talk about anything for about 3 years because I would just cry. I mean, I remember spending that first year just days. Days crying. If I could get out of the house to go to the store for something, it was like a major accomplishment. I took a leave of absence from my job, and there was also a lot of shame involved in the beginning, and I had to really work through that. And part of my point of putting the show on and talking about it is to let people know that there's nothing shameful about anything that happens in life, you know, to just face it. Because when you feel shame, then you're like almost killing a part of yourself, you know.
Many people who come to see the show have a very strong reaction to it and come and share what a powerful reaction they had to it and how it's changed them in some way. Would you mind sharing some of those reactions?
People come up to me, and it shows me how universal this story is. Even in the particulars may not be, but love, loss, betrayal, tragedy, how universal they are. Well, the last time I put up a few scenes from it, this man came over to me. He was there with his, I think, two of his brothers and his mom and dad, and he just was thanking me so much for doing the show. And then he ended up telling me that one of their brothers had killed himself a few years ago, and no one in the family was able to speak about it except for him. And then by seeing my show, it opened up the dialogue. And then on the other hand, because I have to say there's a lot of humor in the show, because I am a firm believer that humor gets you through things in life, you know, and trying not to take yourself too seriously. And there's quite a few scenes of me dancing in the 1980s in the discotheques, and I've had people be like, oh my God, that reminded me of that time, you know.
That's great. Well, and it just goes to show everybody's got skeletons in their closet, and there's so much that's taboo.
That, skeletons from dancing in the 80s.
Well, that's
alone.
Yeah, we won't go there. you say that it's therapeutic to perform. You know, you've written about it, you've performed it, and you'll be performing it again. But I can only imagine it must also make you feel a bit vulnerable to put it all out there.
Yes, it has made me feel very vulnerable in the past. When I did the show the first time 5 years ago, it actually was a bit much for me. I did it so that it could be a catharsis for me. And yet I found so many people asking so many questions after the show, and I would answer everything not really knowing how to set a boundary for myself and to really nurture myself. So I took some time off. And also back then I was talking to my father, and I was still having that tug of war inside. Whereas since then, you know, I did get my master's in psychology with an emphasis on spirituality. And I've really examined my life. And I guess I don't know how to explain it, except that in that vulnerability, it's not a vulnerability that's a weakness now. It's a vulnerability that's really a strength, because I know who I am, and all these things I've explored are now brought to the surface so I can deal with them. So I've looked at it so much that it feels really healing and healthy.
It's been 10 years almost since your mother's death. What have you learned from all of this?
I have learned that life is a journey. I really do believe that the way you deal with things in life makes your life either wonderful or terrible. You know, Shakespeare says there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. I really believe that. What I've learned is not to judge. What I've learned is that if judgments come up and I want to be really angry and it seems so clear that someone's done something so awful to me, that really just hurts me, that I need to look at everything in my life, not just this, and somehow transform that anger, that rage, into lessons. And when I do, that my life is light and beautiful and joyful and fun. You know, that I don't have to live in the past. I think the biggest thing for me was kind of climbing out of my past, you know, and to really just live in the present and then take the lessons that I've learned.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.